and my way groweth drear, breast is low, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stand, I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near and the day is almost gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, I am tired, I am weak. I'm on. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. That's
amazing. Just mentioned a little bit of when that river I stand. He's not talking about the crossing of the Jordan. He's talking about death. Death. When death comes, I'm glad I don't go it alone. You got to think that one through. Because when the rich man died, next thing he noticed was hell. But when a saved person dies, I really believe God just takes him by the hand and leads him on to that better land. As the scripture tells us, Job had it best said, if a man die, shall he live again? All of my appointed days will I wait, this is the best part, till my change come. That's good. Man, that's good. John chapter number, I believe it's chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. I'm bad to look at scripture without looking at the heading, but you need to know where the heading is. John chapter 8. I want to read one verse of scripture. Jesus is speaking. And when the Lord speaks, He gives us a word sometimes that I call the wow factor. Sometimes God lets us see things and it's like, wow, wouldn't you like to have been there? I would have loved to have been there when the boat was a-rocking and a-shaking and everybody was kind of afraid because of the storm and look out in the distance and the Lord wasn't with them in the boat and they look out in the distance, they see a figure. And one of the fellas in the boat says, Lord, if that be you, bid me come walk on the water. Now listen, it took him a second to recognize it was the Lord. But when he recognized it was the Lord, he said, Lord, if that be you, he knew who it was. Let me come on. And he said, just come on. That's my word. Just come on. Friend, ain't it good when God will give you something like that? I ain't no water walker. No, no. But I sure am glad when I recognize the Lord. Amen. And when the Lord speaks, my goodness, what a hearing. Jesus is speaking here. Chapter number 8, verses number 56. Jesus said, your father, now he's talking to a bunch of Jews, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Father, I thank you for the privilege that you've let us have. And oh God, we pray this morning, God, that your will be accomplished in all of our hearts. God, let us not withdraw anything. God, let us be able to open our hearts unto you. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, verily, he said, rejoice. Your father Abraham, rejoice to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. You know, Abraham was back in the book of Genesis. If you go around in that 17th on out for many chapters there, Abraham was a prominent figure. Abraham, according to the book of Hebrews, we like to call him the father of faith. Abraham believed God. Man. And just had faith in God. And because he believed in God, man, he had things like righteousness. Righteousness is something that wouldn't you think that would exceed just normal, common, everyday, run-of-the-mill Christian thing? You know, run-of-the-mill Christian is if I show up on church and I get here on time and I show up for church, boy, that I'm holy. I hope that's not an interpretation of holy. Just because I go to church, because going to church is a good thing. It's a really good thing, but it's not going to make you any better. Well, the only Lord can make you better. It'll make you worse, because if you're not careful and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you'll feel worse than you did before you went. But that's a good thing if the Lord touches your heart, okay? But there's many things that this verse implies about Abraham. I have to go back to think about what was the main character about Abraham. Abraham was given a promise by God one day. He said, listen, leave where you're at and go into this new land. In a land that you don't know where it's at, but I'm going to show you where it's at. And if you go there, I'm going to bless you. And if you go there, I'm going to let you have that land. And so Abraham just loads up the wagon and here they go, family and all. And they head to the promised land. Now that's the kind of person that believes God. To go where you can't see God with the eyeball. You can't always hear God with the ear. It just seems like God's speaking, but my ears don't work too good. But it seemed like when God shows you something or tells you something, you know it came from God. So Abraham went into that promised land. He went there. And one of the things that he began to do, as Abraham can do well, Abraham would stop occasionally, and I could give you examples, and he stopped, and what he would do would be build an altar. Now he could build an altar. In fact, there's occasions when he would fashion and form that altar. And I'm going to tell you, it was temporary altars. They make them out of stone. They had plenty of stones over there in Israel. Go over there today, they got plenty of rocks, okay? You look, watch on TV, they throw them all the time at folks. But reality was, Abraham could build an altar. And he would form that altar. And you know, the first time you build an altar, you might not fully understand exactly what you're doing. And you might put rocks in spot and you say, well, I don't know if this is going to work or not. But the end result of building an altar is that Abraham would put a sacrifice on that altar.
And when he put that sacrifice on the altar, he had things that he would have to do prior. That blood, that animal had to die, that blood had to be shed, all the things that it took to prepare an altar, Abraham did that. And when he did that, he offered that sacrifice unto God. Now, the first time he went through all that, I don't know how good he was at it. I wasn't there. But I do know this. When you're serving the Lord, there are a lot of times when you're doing the very first time, you're a little nervous. You're a little scared. You're unknown factors. And friend, when this began to take place with Abraham, he built that altar, he sacrificed, and he put that animal on there, and he did it all for God. You read your Bible a little bit further down the road, he did it again. It's recorded. He could build an altar. He could actually put the animal that was going to give its life and shed its blood as a man. He could do that. He got to be one of the best altar builders in that time frame. Now, I bet you never heard that term. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an altar builder. Oh, that'd be pretty good. You know, with the pew that you're sitting in, that'd be great. But now these pews is heavy. These are the heaviest pews I've ever seen in my life, okay? Man, you pick one of them up, you know you got one, okay? But I don't want to say, well, if I work at a factory where I build pews and altar, I want to be an altar builder, okay? That's what I want to do. It's a whole lot lighter, but let me tell you about an altar. We take care of these pews. They last year for a long time. We set them, we occupy them, we use them, we do all the things that we're supposed to do a pew. We put our books on there, we got it all laid out, it's just fine. We use those pews a whole lot more than we use that altar. And we got them from the same spot. The same spot. Now, I wasn't here when they was bald, but somebody one day said, well, let's go buy us an altar, and let's go buy some pews, and let's get us a pulpit and a communion table and all these other things, and you go down to the store and you buy all that stuff. Somebody knew how to build an altar. Now, I don't know how they come up with that plan, but ours is a whole lot different from Abraham's. Abraham's was built out of stone. He didn't have no wood handily to build that altar. Now, he put that wood on that altar to be able to burn that sacrifice. But see, the wood had its spot, and the stone had its spot, and the animal that shed its blood had its spot. But the reality of everything was offered unto God. Now, I got to fast forward. One day, there was rejoicing that when Abraham, the Bible said, whenever you look, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, he was not talking about in the book of Genesis. Oh, yeah, he was talking about what Abraham saw. He was rejoicing. He was happy. But while Abraham was alive, somewhere, some way, somehow, when Abraham was alive in the book of Genesis, one day God set him aside from all the things that was going on, and God let him see. Now, Abraham didn't prophesy. No, there was no prophet in Abraham. No. You read your Bible, you'll find all the prophets that's in the Bible. In fact, you can look in the New Testament and see John the Baptist, a forerunner of Christ. But Abraham is not a prophet. Abraham, on that day, on that particular day, God opened up and let Abraham see the day that Jesus was talking about. My day. Now, the scripture said he rejoiced to see my day. Now let me go to some troublesome times, we might say. I remember when Abraham left with his family. It wasn't too long afterwards. They was traveling and went to a particular area, and they had to stop. They had to stop their journey. Why they had to stop was Abraham's daddy was passing on. He died. Stopped the journey. Traveling didn't go very far. That wasn't a good day for Abraham. Anytime you lose your mother or father, I don't care how it is, you lose brother or sister, you lose some member of your family, it will slow you down, it will put you back, it will stop you dead in your tracks. The Lord knows all of these things. That wasn't a good day, we might say, for Abraham, but that wasn't a day that I really believe that the Lord revealed about the day of Jesus. In fact, we go on a little bit through time and we can look at where Abraham built altars there at Babel and on different occasions built an altar. I don't believe that day was the day he was revealed. Now let me come to the trouble time in Abraham's life. One particular morning, one particular day, Abraham got word from God that to take thine only son, Isaac, and go to a place that I will show you and sacrifice Isaac. Now, friend, when God tells you something like that, I don't think Abraham rejoiced. You see, as Christians, as God's people, there are times that we literally can rejoice because our name's written in heaven. Our name, not only our name, but one day we'll get to go to heaven. There are days when we can actually rejoice that we're a Christian. That's good. But there are times in our Christian life when we can just generally be happy. But then there are other times in our Christian life when sorrow fills our heart. We're that topsy-turvy world inside being a Christian. There's ups and downs. There's hills and valleys. I'm not always high, and I thank God I'm not always low. Sometimes I feel like, well, it's good to be a happy medium. But friend, in the eyes of God, being a happy medium is not good. God wants me on the mountaintop, but many times I find myself in the valley. But listen. On the day that God told Abraham to take Isaac, Abraham didn't know what was going to take place next. He took him. He had built altars. He was one of the best altar builders that we know of in the Old Testament. I really believe Isaac had been around Abraham when altar building time came. What better thing to give to your family is how you worship, They can learn from how you worship, and they might. Friend, we're not to be cookie cutter Christians. We don't say, well, here you do it just exactly like I do it, and if you do it just like I do it, you'll be blessed just like exactly like I am. That ain't the way God made me. God has made me as an individual and you as an individual. And when Abraham would show Isaac all about sacrificing and building altars, friend, Isaac knew everything that Abraham was going to do next, I really believe. I believe because, in fact, the Scripture said when he got down to the place of where they were going to sacrifice, that whenever it come time for this, Isaac's doing the inventory. Okay, we've got the wood and we got the fire. Abraham, he called him, where's the sacrifice? See, he had that down pat. He knew what was going to be next. See, I don't believe this is the day that Abraham saw fast forward and was rejoicing to see my day, which was Jesus' time. I don't believe that. You know why? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when the day that I close my eyes in death, it's going to be better for me. I don't have a problem with that. I don't, friend of mine, I'll hate to leave my family, but in reality, that day is going to be a good day after I go through the process of dying. Now, friend, if you see Jesus, he takes away the sting of death. Scripture says, O death, where is thy sting? Before Jesus ever died on Calvary's cross, before Jesus ever resurrected from the grave, there were so many worries and so many troubles about what's going to happen. We do know that the promise that Abraham received unto God was this, that wherever your feet go, your seed from generation to generation to generation throughout time. Friend, they're going to have this land. That was a promise from God. And I believe that. Now listen. But friend, what good does it do you once you're dead and gone if your children get an inheritance? What good does it do you? You see, what we do down here is hopefully we're preparing us and our children not for possession of this world, but for a possession in another world. Now you listen carefully. So when Abraham offered Isaac, he laid him down upon that altar, and he draws back that knife to run Isaac through and to sacrifice his only son on that altar. Did Abraham know what was going to happen? In fact, we all think this, that he saw and he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead, because he told them servant, me and Isaac, we're going to yonder and sacrifice and we're going to come back. We all interpret that and we see that, man, if God is able to do this, God is able to resurrect from the dead, and he could bring Isaac back from the dead. Just like that. And he dragged back that knife and he was going to run him through. And he was just going to believe God. And God stopped him. Why did God stop him? Friend of mine, God stopped him for many, many reasons. But let me just share you this one. See, the intention of the heart, God knew that he was going to run him through. You see, there's a lot of folks that will play church. They love to play church. They go through the motions. They go through the rituals. They say, well, it's time to go to church, and it's time to pray, and it's time to do this, and time. Friend, there's many folks that will play church, but they don't have their heart in it. Their heart is not in it. When your heart is in it, friend, when good things happen, you rejoice. When things are unsure and unknown, if you know a better day's coming, you'll rejoice. If you're told you got cancer and you got 6 months to live, you know there's reasons you can rejoice. If you know you're secure in God. Now, friend, Abraham was acting not only on his behalf, but he was fixing to take his only son's life and just kill him right there, Johnny, on the spot. He was in giving everything over to God and saying, God, I don't know how, but friend, God, I'm going to trust you. Remember that verse? Abraham rejoiced to see the day. I don't think he saw that day. You know why? I don't believe Abraham saw that day just yet. Because in his mind, Abraham had already sacrificed Isaac by saying to those servants, we're coming back. In his mind, we're going to do it. You ever get your mind set on one thing? And boy, you'll just make a beeline and you'll do it, and you'll just get right there and you perform the job. You get the job done and you say, see, this is what I can do. And you don't do anything else. On a mule, we used to put blinders so that they wouldn't look to the right or left. They'd focus on what you was doing. Never could figure that out. But then they work. A horse will work a whole lot better if you've got them blinders on. You're focused. Abraham was focused. But I really don't believe God shared. I believe that it was later on in Abraham's life. It's actually not recorded that I've found where that day God decided
to let Abraham see the day of Christ. Now listen, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. John the Baptist had not laid eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ prior to what we're fixing to say. He not laid eyes on him. In fact, John's mother and Jesus' mother, they were friends. They were friends. But it's not recorded. In fact, John the Baptist, he didn't preach in your local church downtown. No, he preached in the wilderness, apart from others. And if you was going to go hear John preach, you left town and went to where he was. On this day, first time he sees Jesus, very first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He recognized, he saw him, he knew who he knew. Listen to the message. The message that John spoke, true, 100%. John spoke about he's able to take away the sin of the world. You know how he saw that? You know how he knew that? Because God enlightened him with a message from heaven above about the capability of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this Bible. There may be a lot of things in there that makes me scratch my head. There may be things in there that is far above my intelligence level. But one thing I know, Jesus Christ is a reason that I'll get to go to heaven and no other reason. And that salvation that he purchased and bled and died on Calvary's cross made it possible that I could have life. Now let me quickly, back to Abraham. One day, God just opened up and let him see. And what did he let him see? Well, I don't think it was a day that them Pharisees wanted to do some things and criticize him. I don't think it was those days. In fact, if I can just put my two cents in here, you know, he didn't say that day. He said my day, which is a term that we can say my time frame of life. Now, there's good days in my life. The day I got saved, you might not know it, but I know it. That was my good day. What about yours? You say, well, my wedding day was a good day, or the day I graduated from school, that was a good day. Friend, the day that's important to me is the day I got saved. And watch this. I believe when Abraham looked and saw, he rejoiced to see my day. Now, why would Abraham rejoice? You see, whenever I was lost in sin, I'd heard about Jesus. I'd been in Sunday school and church and all those things. I'd heard about Jesus. But you know when it really started to make sense to me? It's when I knew that Jesus died for me. For me. Now, the person next to me, that'd be great. And it's okay to say, well, I'm glad he died for you. But what it really made sense is when Jesus died for me. What really made sense is when he shed his blood on Calvary's cross for me. Don't you think that a day that would make Abraham rejoice, what would make him rejoice? Man, he used to be building altars. He could build them altars. Abraham was a good praying man. He's used to praying. Abraham knew what it was to bring a sacrifice. But ain't you glad to know that, friend of mine, the sacrifice is not man-made given. Doesn't have to be repeated over and over and over. I'm glad Jesus died on Calvary's cross one time and one time and one time's all he'll ever die on Calvary's cross. And when he shed his blood, that blood went to you. But you know what? That blood went to me. And that satisfied my sins with God. That's the only way my sins will ever be satisfied.
God looks at sin and says, no man can see God and live. But through the sacrificial life of Jesus Christ, that he died, shed his blood, and because of that bloodshed, and because of that resurrection power, that death couldn't hold him, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because of that process, when Abraham saw it, he rejoiced to see my day. Can I let that settle in just for a second to say it this way? He done the same thing for me one day. He opened up my eyes to see. He really did. He opened up my eyes.
You've went to church numerous times, just like I went to church numerous times. And many, many of those times, I got nothing out of going to church. Nothing. When you're lost, you don't really benefit from going to church. You really don't. All they want to do is take up an offering. Back in those days, they really didn't care because you didn't have any money. If you was a youngster, you know, money didn't mean a lot. But you'd see them take up offering, and that's what all churches get blamed for now. But money's not the reason why you go to church. Clothes, that's sure not be the reason you go to church. Because I've seen many of them in our younger days, overhauls just like they'd work out in the field in, but they'd be clean. But the truth of it was, that's just the way people dress. Today, nowadays, it's a little different, but still, you ought to dress up decent to come to the house of God. But still, in reality, if you're lost, that's not the reason.
When you see something, though, when you see something different, because you see, when you come to church, there is an altar. And when you come to church, there is a reason for an altar. We don't put a sacrifice on that altar. We don't light a fire. We don't see smoke ascending to heaven. We don't have a holy of holy areas that was described by the Jews in the Old Testament. We don't have none of those things. But what we have is a place where you can lay yourself on the altar. Now, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Am I giving myself? In a sense, you're telling God, I'm giving you my sins because I can't handle them. You're not changing your name. You're not changing your profile. You're not changing all those things. You're laying your sins on the altar. And when you lay your sins on the altar, just like Abraham saw that day, Abraham knew he couldn't save himself, but Abraham saw the day when Jesus could save him. And that's what it's going to take for me and you. We've actually got to see the Lord. And when you see the Lord on that day, hey, you can be the best altar builder you want to be. You can work in the best church building business you ever want to be. But you're going to die in your sins. But when you rejoice to see the day, you rejoice to see the day of Jesus and what he did. And what he did, there's not another that can do what he did. None other. Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We can't do nothing but just offer our sins and say, look at here. And actually, the Lord's the one that shows us our sins. And boy, when he shows us our sins, what are we going to do with them? There are many. They're often devastating. Can you imagine some of the people in the prisons today with all their multiple murders, all their multiple crimes? In fact, they're so bad, some of them will give them life sentence, and some of them will give them double life sentences, and they'll say, well, you'll never go outside again. You'll never see their freedom one more time. And you think, boy, that's bad. No, that's not bad. That's not bad.
You know what's bad? It's to die with those sins. It's not bad that you committed them. It's not bad that you done wrong. Because I may have not murdered anybody, but I still done wrong. And one wrong is just like another wrong. One sin will send you to hell just like 10 sins will send you to hell. And friend of mine, know the only way to be redeemed from that sin is not through works, not through righteousness. It is through the blood of Jesus. And Abraham rejoiced to see that day. Why? Because his sins were under the blood. Now he knows why he built that altar. Now he knows why there was a sacrifice. Now he knows why the blood was shed. You see, when you know the truth will set you free. You're under the sound of our voice today. You're under the sound of the message of God that says, Abraham rejoiced to see that day. And I'm happy the day that I got saved. You can be happy today. You don't have to carry your sins. You don't have to be burdened with the burden of sin. You can, in fact, give your heart and life to Jesus, and no longer will sin rule and reign in your life. I'm free. Yes, I'm free. Why am I free? I'm free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given by we must be saved. This process of going sacrifice day by day or year by year like the Old Testament priest did, all those things are gone. I don't have to come back year after year and say, Lord, save me again. Lord, save me again. Friend of mine, he died once, he shed his blood once, and he'll save you once. You must trust him. And the only way to trust him is quit trusting in yourself. Preacher, I've come a long ways, well, many years. I've been in church many, many times, and I know there's no way that I can live a bunch of hypocrites like they are in the church world. There's no way I can be like them folks down there. I'm not holy. I'm not right. I don't claim to be nothing. Friend, I didn't claim to be nothing neither. But it was one thing that God showed me. God showed me I was a sinner. And by that one act, I knew I was insufficient in the eyes of God. Again, I have 2 minutes to say you this. When Abraham saw that day, he didn't record, boy, I wasn't worthy to see that day. This is an unusual verse in the Bible. Very unusual. Very, very unusual for the Lord to enlighten us that people can actually see. Now, this was thousands of years later. When John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelation, he was writing, and here it is thousands of years later, and some of those things are yet to happen. How in the world do you handle that? How do you pin these words down? And it's almost like saying, well, it doesn't really make sense to me. You know who it makes sense to? Who it really makes sense to? Revelation chapter 4. I'm just giving you this one. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this. Well, I just go on, but I better not. Boy, on that chapter 4, verse 1, one ever said, after this. There's all of a sudden a sound, and there's all of a sudden a trumpet, and then all of a sudden, boom. In fact, I go to another scripture that says, all of a sudden on one particular day, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up. Where are we going? We're going home. And now if I look at that Bible, and I say, oh, God's let me see. My first knowledge of understanding the Bible, I have so many questions. But as a Christian, it was a hard time for me to grab John 3:16, where God loved me while I was nothing. But whenever I grabbed it and believed it and trusted, all of a sudden I might have little Abrahamic ways. I rejoice to see the day. Now you know why sometimes I like some of the songs we sing. Some of the testimonies somebody will give. Some of the messages that God allows us to hear. Some of the things that feeds the soul. You rejoice to see the day. It'll be a happy day when God calls us home if you're saved. Brother Greg, a song. 119. It'll be a happy day. The Bible actually describes there's going to be shouting. There's going to be praising. There's going to be glorifying in heaven. But also in the Bible, it describes woes. Woes. If we had the time, we could go into the woes that's in the Bible. But every time you hear a woe in the Bible, it means trouble. It means devastating trouble. Not just your little minor thing. It's devastating. Friend, if you reject God, it's a woe. It'll be devastating. Not to me now. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to walk on the streets of gold. But to you. The lake of fires and the suffering will never end. Let me ask you, can you rejoice to see the day of Abraham? That whenever he saw that, oh, look at there, I see the Lord. You can't tell me that that wasn't a good day, a happy day. He can rejoice because of a Savior. I can rejoice because of mine. Oh, it's a happy day. But if you're not saved, you can be today. Can we stand and sing a verse of this song? God speaking, you come. You come.